is the Great Shalom Broadcast, proclaiming that God wants total well-being for all children.
Welcome back, everybody. This is the Great Shalom Broadcast. And we have been doing a series on the rescue of Passover and the outpouring at Pentecost. So in this series, we've talked mostly, we've tried to focus on those things that relate to children, of course, because that's the mission. And there were many more revelations that were rescues. But we spent some time about rescuing children from sexual depredation. Today, we want to talk about some rescue from whatever the opposite of learning is. I guess indarkenment. We're going to talk about education. Parents have been shut up in the house with their children, and they thus were able to become better acquainted. And some of them discovered that their children were depredated upon, and there'd be some improvement of safety. You know, you'd better work on that if that's you. And then a few parents were faced with their own lack in parenting. You know, we've seen the statistics of abuse rise, and I saw one, you know, kind of was supposed to be funny of parents throwing their kids out of their SUV back to school. Well, so I think some parents have realized that there's some real lack in their parenting, and so there needs to be some improvement. And that's not what this broadcast does. We don't primarily teach parenting, but I'm going to call pastors everywhere to have some good parenting classes or mentoring or something. This needs to be done because through the generations, this has become very much weakened. Child development, education, and parenting has been infected with the exact wrong teachings. And generally, the society thinks that Christianity equals child abuse. And this, of course, is ridiculous. And to the extent that there are some people who, like the Adorno authoritarian personality, are both rigidly religious and abuse their children and racist, well, there may be a few still like that, but so much more is there: neglect of children, lack of teaching, lack of boundaries, pushing of perversion and enforcing unhappiness, showing children the paths over and over and over again to destruction. And it's time that this stop and there becomes a highlighting of the good way of walking. So a path to happiness and wholeness and fail-proof life. And today I want to talk about education, because that is much closer to the heart of this ministry. Began as talking about healing from learning problems, and we'll take it any way it comes. That's what I always said. So yes, I believe in miraculous healing. Yes, I believe in healing that's a growth step by step. And yes, I believe in overcoming that's innovative education. And we have had opportunities to interview home educators and home education clubs and so forth. I want to talk to you today particularly about what every family is now looking at because they were shut in. You're discovering what's going on in your child's education. So from two of my friends who are teachers, one was complaining because she had parents asking her to give more work to the children. And of course, that was something she couldn't even think of. I've since been told the law in Texas says that they may not give more than 8 hours of work. But the parents in this conversation said, you're not giving my child enough to keep her busy all week, and I want you to get. And the teacher was saying, look, that's your job as a parent to keep a child busy. And there was just a loggerhead. Well, do you see how the system has set that up? We have become addicted to a public education system. We can send our kids off, and this school will take care of the child, and the school has no intention of taking care of the child. How many times have I heard teachers say, well, I'm not a social worker? Well, why not? Of course you are. But if parents think they can send their child to school and they'll be taken care of, they're mistaken. School originally was set up for reading, writing, and arithmetic. Of course, they're not doing any of that. I'm sorry. Public school. There is no statistics, no real statistics that can say anything otherwise than that we have failed at that job. Okay, to be clear, what I'm saying is public school was developed for reading, writing, and arithmetic, basic academics. Actually, also to Americanize immigrants, but basically for academics. And in terms of basic academics, it has failed miserably. And if you want to discuss this with me, I will send you to James Popham, The Truth About Testing, 2003. Popham was the consultant that, well, not he wasn't the only one, but a leading consultant that wrote those tests. And he'll tell you about how it's a bunch of smoke and mirrors and why. No, we all know that academic achievement has plummeted since the 60s. Plummeted. And nobody thought it was really high in the 60s. We are at the bottom of the heap in terms of the industrialized nations. Okay, we're not going to argue about that. If you don't know that that's true, you need to go and find out what the score is. But the parents don't know that. And why should they if they're not professionals? They're just used to sending their kids off to free government schools and thinking it's good because government schools advertise. Oh, how great we are. My daughter went to a Texas TEA Blue Ribbon school, and it was appalling. Appalling. Behavior of the administration, of the teachers, were appalling. The academic standards were bizarre, and the test scores were cooked. And that was years ago. There's no question. We all know. So another report from another school teacher, she told me, well, we're not permitted to give the children more than 8 hours a week. And I'm not saying anything bad about her. She's a Christian. She's a young woman. She's just doing what she's told to do. She's just an employee. And we, of course, give them mostly only review. So here we've had not quite half of the school year, which has been mostly review. And we expect that next year they will have lost a year. So that's an expectation. So what's going to happen next year is going to be mostly review. So do you understand that because of their decisions, let alone their expectations, they're enforcing a year of loss? And then she also said, not in this order, we're seeing a real improvement in the quality of work that's turned in. Now, she is assuming that what that means is that the parents are doing the work, so it's cheating. That's the assumption. But you see, that's the assumption. So it's all this picture that has been built for the teachers. What's really happening is the children under the oversight of their parents who are actually enforcing that the work gets done. And yes, the parents may be working with their children, but there is, I think it's unlikely that the parents are doing the work. They're enforcing better work. So what's happening is the children are progressing better and faster because of the expectations of the adults. So the children are doing better work, and yet they're going to have an enforcement of a year of loss. So the kids are going to be even more bored. And they're already completely disaffected. The brightest ones are the most disaffected because they've not given anything that's interesting or challenging. It's all review. How that was true even in the 60s when I was in school. You know, the first couple of months in the last month was all review. I was ready to get on with something. So what the teachers are told to do, and that by law not permitted to give more than 8 hours of work. So the uptick in watching videos has been amazing. And to the point where the internet went down some weeks and I was trying to teach online. But it's not obvious to someone who hasn't taught both in the public school system and homeschooled more than one child. But it is obvious to those of us who have done that, that you spend the vast share of your energy as a public instructor in keeping order, making kids stand in line, be quiet, get on one page. And so there's a lot fewer minutes on task in a public school compared into homeschool. So any homeschooler who knows what they're talking about, who is experienced and who's maybe taught or substitute in the public school, will say that you can get done in 3 hours at homeschool easily what would have taken 8 in the public school. And therefore, it is not surprising that we have statistics that the children who are homeschooled back to the 80s outperform academically their peers in schools. And often they have more time for more mature initiatives and for maturity and for socializing. There's a lot of creative education that goes on to making that whole person in the home education. And I think many, many, many parents have discovered that what's going on in the public school is not so good. They're going to be reading the math textbooks and saying, what? They're going to be reading the history textbooks and going, what? They're going to be seeing the level of work of their children and the lack of assignments and going, what? And so I think what we're going to see is a huge uptick in homeschools and hopefully in private schools as well. There's already a real pressure on charter schools here. In Texas, a charter school is a school that's paid for by public funds but runs on some other philosophy. So, for instance, Founders, which is a classical school, has many, many applicants for each chair that they have. And we have, of course, many private schools, but there's this new movement of classical Christian schools or classical schools, which runs on educational philosophy before Dewey. It's the kind of education that the founders were given. They read old texts and take the leisure to learn about reason and practice them. I think so many parents are going to find out, what is going on? It's really not blaming the teachers. That's where the conversation is going to happen. And pity the poor teachers, often, who are little educated themselves, but always their employees. And they're going to have to do what they're told to do. And they're in a thought structure, in a fortress mentality that's been going on for decades. So oftentimes those discussions don't go on well. They are limited by law. They cannot talk about controversial issues, which might be so helpful in high school or even junior high. And they can't give more than 8 hours of work to. And yet the parents thought that the public system was taking care of their education. Well, there's another revelation that has come out. Epoch Times, you know, a new newspaper, and you can find it online or on hard copy, Epoch Times has been running a series for many weeks about the history of public schooling in United States. And this last issue, so it would have been the May 20th issue. The May 20th issue is an article about how the big foundations, Ford Foundation, Carnegie Foundation, some others, I'm not quite sure what the verb is, but let's use a positive verb and say infiltrated and caused to fund the injection of communism into public schools. And that's bizarre. I wouldn't even believe that. Except in this article, there are direct quotes from these foundations as far back as the 60s, that say explicitly this, that they were trying to prepare the United States to merge with the Union of the USSR, the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics. And to do that, they were going to use the public school system. As bizarre as that claim is, there is the evidence. And certainly, as a college instructor of sociology, I see that. So I've told you, I think, before that I eventually decided that sociology was subverted from being very scientific in the 60s to being very little more than leftist ideology today, Marxist ideology. Conflict perspective has taken over all the other perspectives, and very little else is permitted. But I've also seen a change in the studentry, so that now the incoming students, some of them know that no matter what the question is, racism is the answer. They already know. So if I put up a chart and I say, this is an exercise in reading the chart, they're not going to look at the numbers. They're just going to tell me about racism. I says, is that what the chart says? And of course, if I say anything else, then they know that I'm obviously a fascist. Now, 20 years ago when I started and I faithfully taught what I was taught, they would know that I was a communist, and I often got called a communist. I was, for many years, lauded as a fair and balanced host of controversial issues. I used controversial issues to get the students engaged because I didn't have the best students often. Had under-engaged students, and so I was trying to get them engaged. And anyway, that worked out pretty well. But over time, I decided my students were right, that the whole curriculum was left-leaning. But today, my students are so leftist that if I try to focus them on the numbers in a chart reading, they probably think I'm a fascist, because they know the right doesn't matter what the question is, the right answer is racism. So they've been educated in public school, and they come, and they already are leftists, and I don't have to subvert them with sociology. And I was at a meeting that used to be a Christian meeting, where a cause lawyer, so he's not a man with no education by any means, but that's the point, was reading history that was fantasy. You know, the history of Canada was really the natives were much more educated, affluent, and so forth, and influenced the founding of Canada. Well, of course, there were bright spots in native culture, but the Europeans had more education and more affluence and more technology. We don't really need to argue this, but yeah, they had, the natives had some, but the natives weren't all peace-loving. This is not the way it happened. They were in warfare themselves. But this history he was giving was a fantasy. I'm reading a well-respected history of Canada, and he was saying something else. And then he announced his intention to spend the rest of his life doing the same with American history. And so what's going to happen is, in 10 years, because I'm sure he's part of movement, he's not thinking this up himself, he's obviously not a historian or a scholar, but so I know what the history of Texas was. My people were here. And yes, in some cases, the Cherokee were more affluent, more educated than some of the European Americans who came, and they would steal cattle back and forth, and the Alabama Coushatta were here, and the Karankawa and the Tejas Indians were dead because of the diseases that the Europeans brought them. I know all this, but you cannot make up stories. Now, there's much wonderful about each culture, but let's just don't make up stories that all they were, it was a nirvana here until the poor, ignorant Europeans came, because that's just not the way it was. And so, you know, they were in the Stone Age, and in some cases they did some good things. Let's adopt the good things. But it wasn't Nirvana. So, and all new American natives weren't classless, pacifists, affluent. It's just not the way it was. But if you write a history book, and 10 years from now that's taught in a public school, and somebody says, oh no, that's not the way it was, you know what they're going to be called? A racist. And today, when we're talking about our civil liberties and the First Amendment, and are we or are we not permitted to have churches in the United States, there's no pandemic exception to the Constitution. And most churches thought it was prudent to go along with the guidelines of the government. But now we see some petty tyrants arising, and we see them largely put down by the rule of law. But in some cases, the fear-mongering and the lies itself. So there are some black churches who are not going to open up because they have been sold a bill of goods that this is particularly trying, the pandemic particularly kills black people. How does that even add up? And somehow the virus doesn't go to Walmart or to Lowe's. It's a big hardware store here. But it will come to churches, and particularly black churches. So the black churches need to... Now, from the other way of looking at it, the black churches are the leadership in the black community and the place where the black community can rise up and do things. That's where they are represented because their schools have been closed and their businesses... Their main streets have been closed. So hopefully they have businesses and hopefully that goes on apace. But do you see what I'm saying? That we need to start taking a reasoned look at what's going on in our education system and take back the reins and be sure that we are teaching truth and traditional values in terms of what actually works in life. Character. And so we need to be making a sound. And the first place to make a sound is in our own home, to speak the truth. To speak the truth. And instead of cowering as the evil storm goes across, we need to be gathering and becoming the storm ourselves and allowing our children to be straight arrows and to be the gathering storm of good. And so I am going to urge upon you to consider the educational placement of your children. Is homeschooling something you can do? There is plenty of resources for that, plenty of encouragement. In some states, you have more liberty to do that than in others. Texas, it was ensconced into our Constitution and then into legal precedent. In some other places, you don't have such liberty. Maybe you need to change that. And then you can look at the private schools. And there are many Christian schools with many different philosophies. Choose what works for your child and your family. And then finally, when you have the leisure and affluence to do so, work at the governmental level. And maybe that will be another episode. You are the parents. You are responsible for your children, for your parenting, which will issue into their character. And so if they were a mess to be with, it's your fault. You need to train them. And if you don't, that's neglect. You need to educate them in all ways so that they will be competent adults in our society. And that means more than reading, writing, arithmetic. But of course, it does mean reading, writing, and arithmetic. And since the public school has no intention of training character that will be successful, but rather training in a whole nother value system, maybe you need to look at that. God wants total well-being for all children, and that's why he gave them to parents. So take your responsibility as a parent. And if you are a church leader, then you need to support those parents in that. Are you being a true servant leader, or are you just being a show and a controlist? And The acid test for that is probably how much you do for children and parents in your church. And if you're an educator, how much are you being a witness? Okay, God wants total well-being for all children. Are you his witnesses? So I pray that repentance is granted to you and power clothes you so that we can go out and disciple our nation and all nations. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining us for the Great Shalom broadcast with your host, Sharon Sarles. Sharon is an author, educator, minister, parent, and grandparent committed to sharing the understanding of God's love and desire that all children experience optimal well-being in this generation and the generations to come. The Great Shalom broadcast is here to bring hope, health, and healing for children and youth by inspiring, informing, equipping parents and educators. For more information on today's program or today's offer, simply log on to greatshalom.org or email info@greatshalom.org.